Now, we're taking a look at perceived liberal bias on college campuses. Last month, the State Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities held a public meeting questioning whether liberal bias in the UW system was hurting students' education. Some lawmakers suggested including political ideology as part of diversity and equity initiatives. And this week, UW System President Jay Rothman said that students should be challenged and that hiring from diverse backgrounds will help address the perceived liberal echo chambers of college. We're talking about liberal bias on college campuses, and you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Are you a college student or parent of a college student? And what are your thoughts on liberal bias on campus? What have you seen and heard? Call us, 1-800-642-1234. Certainly in the news today, you can email us ideas@WPR.org. Joining us, Corrine Hess, K-12 education reporter for WPR. And Corey, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the Republican majority legislature, in addition to critiquing a perceived liberal bias at UW, has also expressed some concerns, as we heard in the news there, about funding ongoing diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives at the UW system. Put this in some perspective for us. What is the speaker calling for?
Well, the speaker this week has said that, you know, there could be potential budget cuts if the UW system doesn't phase out the diversity, equity, and inclusion offices at its campuses. He has said that the university has gone from being an institute of higher education to indoctrinating students. And so, you know, all of this is happening at a time when UW-Madison students right now are protesting this video that came out of another student's racist rants. So it's just all happening at the same time.
Yes. UW System President Jay Rothman weighed in earlier this week speaking to WPR on Monday. What did he have to say about the diversity, equity, and inclusion of initiatives along with political diversity on UW campuses?
He says he's committed to educating a diverse group of students, and he wants them to be exposed to professors who represent a range of cultures, ideas, and opinions. So, you know, he says that with the DEI goals, he wants to really focus on the I, which stands for inclusion, when he hires people.
And the president's comments come after this recent survey, at least the release of the survey, where we find a majority of conservative students said they censor them, at least who responded, say they censor themselves in class. Do we have any specifics on this, or what do the numbers say?
Well, yeah, the survey, I think, was pretty eye-opening to people that work on campuses and, you know, parents and others. It said that more conservative students feel like they can't speak out on topics of abortion or trans issues. And so so I think that's where a lot of this is coming from.
And so what ideas then has the UW system president put forth for increasing political diversity on UW system in the UW system and specifically in professors?
Well, you know, when I talked to him, he didn't really want to talk about increasing political diversity. Okay. I think he wants to stay above that. He was talking about increasing diversity on campus, like by hiring maybe more veterans or people who come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. He said that, you know, he comes from a business background. He worked at a law firm for more than 30 years before coming into academics. So he talked more about just wanting to create campuses where people can express themselves. I asked him how to do that. And, you know, right now, I think he's just meeting with legislators, educators, students, trying to figure that out, because I think it's a really hard question.
Yeah. Corey, I appreciate you detailing it for us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Corey Hess, our K-12 reporter for WPR, talking to us about the University of Wisconsin's response to the state legislature's concern over perceived liberal bias within the system. And now we're going to take a look at why there's such a strong perception of liberal bias at universities in the first place and whether the data actually backs that up. Our next guest is Neil Gross, a professor of sociology at Colby College and the author of books including Why Are Professors Liberal and What Do Why Do Conservatives Care? His latest book is Walk the Walk, How Three Police Chiefs Defied the Odds and Changed Cop Culture. He also got his PhD at UW-Madison. So, Neil, welcome back to Madison and welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first, what does the data say? What do we know about the political political bents on campus?
Well, to speak to the faculty piece first, because that's different than the student part of it or the question of what staff are doing or saying on college campuses. You know, I think you have to think about two different elements. Like one is what are the political views of the faculty? And then second, to what extent are they injecting those political views into their teaching? You know, on that question of what are their politics? Yeah, I mean, I think the data back up what most people know, which is that academia is a pretty progressive occupation. Certainly, very strong support in academia for the Democrats. There's some variation across fields, of course. The social sciences and humanities tend to be the most left-leaning. The closer you get to more applied fields, they tend to be a little bit more favorable to conservatives, but overall, very progressive occupation. But on the question of what people do in classrooms, that's another matter altogether. And there, I think that we don't have strong evidence to suggest that there's a lot of political indoctrination happening, at least in the classroom.
So what does the taking a look at the political ideologies of college professors, so is there more education equate with a more liberal political point of view?
There's lots of questions as to kind of why this is true. It's not true just now. I mean, the progressivism of the faculty has been growing a little bit over time. If you compare numbers from the early 2000s to today, you see that there's a slightly higher percentage of the faculty that describe themselves as on the far left, a slightly smaller share describe themselves as conservative. But you know, if you go back to the 1950s, the 1960s, higher education faculty have always been more progressive. And yeah, part of the answer is education. I think there's other hypotheses people roll out for a while. There's a lot of talk about discrimination against conservatives applying for jobs in academia. Not strong evidence, at least when I was doing my research in the early 2000s to back that up. But what I think there is evidence for is the idea that academia has, for a long time, had a reputation as a liberal space, going all the way back to early struggles over academic freedom when folks on the left kind of found a home for themselves in the professoriate. And I think that reputation has just grown over time. And so now you get a lot of self-selection, right? A lot of young people who are academically motivated, academically accomplished. If they're on the left, they think, hey, you know, university career, that's a job where I could see myself. A lot of young conservatives who are academically motivated and talented think that space is just not for me. So I think the biggest driver of it is self-selection.
Interesting. Neil Gross, our guest professor of sociology at Colby College, who has taken a look at the politics of college campuses. And you can join us with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. So I see this survey from last year from the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression that found 15% of college faculty identify as independents. Just over 30% identify as Democrats, and conservatives would be underrepresented in this, but there's not actually a liberal majority here. So if how would you size up these numbers and of political perspective on campus and these professors, and aren't we seeing indoctrination in the classroom if there is this political bent then, Neil?
You know, I think that the question of kind of what happens in college classrooms, it's always been kind of a black box from the standpoint of thinking about politics and higher ed. We've known for some time that the experience of going to college tends to make people a little bit more liberal socially. For a long time, the evidence suggested that going to college actually made people more conservative on economic matters. Now, the more recent data suggests that there's now a shift and that it tends to make people a little bit more liberal, both socially and on economic matters. But I think the main reason that the politics don't bleed over that much into the classroom is because an awful lot of what happens in the classroom, it doesn't have anything to do with politics. You know, research my book, I spent a lot of time talking to natural scientists, you know, chemists and biologists, and they'd all say some version of, I'd ask, you know, what role do politics play in your teaching? They'd say, look, a rock you know, doesn't have a molecule, doesn't have politics. I think there's this idea out there that every college classroom, we're just sitting around debating liberal versus conservative ideas. For the most part, we're trying to communicate the content of our field to students. And yeah, we're trying to get them to think, develop their own critical thinking skills. But I think one of the big reasons that that college classrooms aren't a site of more mobilization in terms of shaping people's political views is that that's not the bulk of what happens in the classroom. And then the other piece of it is, you know, students, I wish that they did, but they don't pay that much attention to what professors say, right? The bulk of what happens in students' experiences is, you know, what happens where they live, it's who they interact with, it's their peers. And if there's a movement to the left among people who go to college, a big part of it is that experience rather than what happens in the classroom.
Neil Gross, our guest, professor of sociology at Colby College, author of Why Are Professors Liberal and Why Do Conservatives Care? We're taking a look at the political persuasions on college campuses, and we invite you to the conversation. Do you think political ideology should be taken into account when considering the overall diversity of college faculty? Do you think it's true that there's liberal bias among college professors? And if so, why does that matter? 800-642-1234 or email us ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue with our guest, Neil Gross, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret, and we're picking up our talk with Neil Gross, professor and chair of sociology at Colby College and author of the book, Why Are Professors Liberal and Why Do Conservatives Care? We're taking a look at the political persuasion of people on college campuses, from students to professors to staff. And we want to hear what you think at 1-800-642-1234. Do you think universities should make an effort to hire more conservative faculty? 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. And Neil, I'm curious if your research helps explain at all the recent UW student survey that found that students who identify as conservatives, the majority of them feel to some degree censored or unable to present their own opinions in the classroom. Is there any explanation that you found, a good explanation for this?
You know, it's interesting. That survey points to a finding which I think is worth paying attention to, and that is that that faculty, by and large, hold views about censorship in college classrooms that is much less censorious than the views of students themselves. In other words, if you ask faculty, you know, should people with diverse views, with extreme views in some cases, be allowed to speak on campus? You know, should they be allowed to, should professors with views that are out of the mainstream be allowed to teach their classes without being disciplined? Faculty, by and large, say yes. It's students who are more willing to want to issue reprisals against those extreme speakers. So I think that it's certainly the case that some students fear that faculty might mark them down if they express opinions that don't align with what they perceive to be the faculty opinion. But based on my experience, the biggest thing is peer culture. Students are worried about what their peers will think of them, what they'll say to them, and how that will affect their reputation on campus.
The percentage of UW-Madison students who identify as Black alone at UW-Madison has never surpassed 3% of the student body during a school year. But as our student body continues to become more diverse, what does that mean for the politics of students as they enter the university and campus, Neil?
You know, I think it's the case that that in general, people with more education are becoming more liberal these days. You know, we talk about the politics of the professoriate, but if you look at trends in the politics of lawyers, doctors, you know, anyone with an advanced degree, and increasingly people with college degrees, they're trending more and more toward the Democratic Party. And, you know, to your question about diversity, I mean, I think that you know, there's lots of questions about whether growing, you know, racial and ethnic diversity, kind of what the effects of that will be on the political composition of different groups. And you know, I think it's a little hard to tell at a place like Madison. I mean, we know that new generations of students that are coming in are typically much more progressive. They get to college much more progressive. It's not as though faculty are making them more progressive. And that there's a growing distaste, I would say, for the GOP among students, kind of regardless of their racial or ethnic identities. Of course, that's not across the board. There are plenty of conservative students, but their numbers have been dwindling.
You wrote in the New York Times about the Republican Party's move to the right since the 1980s. What role has that played in, if at all, that you found in the politics of college campuses?
So I like to think about this in branding terms, right? So if you're a software manufacturer, a software company, and you find that some important group of consumers is falling away from your soft drink, one thing that you can do is I guess you can blame the consumers and go after them and try to get new consumers in the market. But another thing you can do is you can fix the soft drink so it's more appealing to consumers. And I think what I was trying to suggest in that piece is that as the Republican Party has veered more toward the right, particularly toward the populist right, but on social issues, on climate change, and so on, it's become increasingly distasteful to people with more advanced educations. I think to imagine that the solution to that is to somehow hire a conservative faculty when it's not clear that there's even a pool of conservative faculty to draw from, is to just to miss the point. And that probably if the GOP wanted more faculty members to support the Republican Party, wanted more students to support the Republican Party, it would probably be wise for them to reconsider what it is that RAND is doing.
Do you find in your research, have you found any hiring bias against conservatives from colleges and universities?
So in my own studies of this, which were done back around 2010 or so, I conducted audit studies looking at whether faculty members were more likely to be enthusiastic about conservative graduate students. Again, the evidence suggests that the problem of overrepresentation of progressive faculty, to the extent that it's a problem, is really one of self-selection. So at every stage of the pipeline, college students more liberal, graduate students far more liberal. When it comes to hiring faculty, again, there just aren't that many conservative faculty that you could go to hire. So we looked to see whether there was discrimination among people who were against people who were applying to graduate school. We didn't find any. I think there have been some subsequent studies that have suggested that maybe things have shifted a little bit, but the basic problem is there just aren't very many conservative graduate students. And so again, who would you hire exactly?
Neil Gross, our guest, professor of sociology at Colby College and author of books including Why Are Professors Liberal and Why Do Conservatives Care? Taking your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Miriam in Milwaukee. Miriam, good afternoon.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wish to say that I think you're both missing the boat really quite badly. I don't think it's a matter of conservative politics or liberal politics, Republican or Democrat. I think it's a matter of how, begin quote, woke, end quote, you are, whether you toe the line in terms of gender criticism or not. I have friends who are teachers in non-liberal arts colleges. One was teaching a nursing class, another a science class, who, because they expressed gender critical views, not in their classroom and not on college campus, but in, their own, like, say, Facebook page or whatever, we're terminated. I think that gender criticism is the big bugaboo now. And as I see it, I was a teacher for 37 years, and as I see it, I wouldn't make it today. I see freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of association going down the tubes. Recently, I was in Madison, and we were doing a Let Women Speak, which is not anti-transgender. And we were threatened. We had people threaten our lives. We had people spit on us. We had people, these were allegedly college students. Come on. It isn't a matter of liberal or conservative. It's a matter of, do you believe that men can be women and women can be men?
Okay, let's ask Neil Gross. Is this a matter of gender criticism and the debate over people's identity?
If you look back at the history of the talk about concerns about what's happening on college campuses, again, it goes way back. Again, you look in the 40s, you can look in the 50s, you can look in the 60s. It's always been the case that folks on the right have found something about what's happening on college campuses that they find objectionable. There's lots of reasons for why this is. It is true that colleges are more progressive spaces. It's also the case that that kind of talk serves a really important function for the Republican Party, and that is that it provides an elite that the GOP can rally against. It helps to kind of bolster its populist credentials. And look, there's no question that I think most college faculty believe that That people should be free to express views that are, you know, as long as they're kind of respectful of the community. But, you know, I think this is, you know, essentially a false issue. The problems on college campuses in terms of teaching students are, you know, is there a tremendous problem with alcohol consumption? Are classes enormous? Can students afford textbooks? Can they afford to go to college? Like, those are the things that are affecting whether students learn and go on to become productive members of society and, you know, can do all sorts of important things. Not that you have to be college educated to be comfortable with society, but you know, those are the things that are going to affect whether we have an educated workforce moving forward. You know, these kinds of culture war issues are really a distraction.
Thank you, Neil. And we've got a couple minutes left here, but with the time we have, I want to ask you about how this affects outside of academia. The 2017 Gallup poll found that Republicans have significantly less confidence in higher education than Democrats. What are the repercussions of this beyond the college campus?
You know, I think the social science on this suggests that when groups of people perceive that that an occupation is heavily tilted in one direction or the other politically, and when they perceive that the politics of that occupation creep into the work, then they tend to have less trust in it. In fact, I think there's a recent study that shows, so it's just that looking at a whole range of occupations. You know, I think American higher education is doing pretty well in terms of the content of the teaching, certainly in terms of the research, the technology spillover, that kind of thing. I think we have to do a better job making clear to the broad public that, you know, we serve an important function, that we're not there to indoctrinate your kids, that we're there to teach them and do critical research. I think that there's a really important communications function. And I think, you know, part of that is a question of transparency, like come into a classroom, see what it actually looks like. I think for a lot of people who are concerned about questions of indoctrination, they'd find, you know, colleges, the classroom itself is it's an educative space. It's not the kind of space of political indoctrination by and large that people are concerned about.
Hey, Neil, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Neil Gross, professor of sociology at Colby College, author of Why Are Professors Liberal and Why Do Conservatives Care? His new book is Walk the Walk, The Three Police Chiefs That Defied the Odds and Changed Cop Culture, talking to us today about perceived liberal bias on college campuses.